My name is Abu Makunyan. I'm from Limpopo and a member of the NGO.
My name is Kipo Flaky. I'm in the National Cancer Program.
Good morning, I'm Marshall Watson from the National Cancer Program.
Good morning, my name is Gordon Foreman from the NGO.
Thank you, other members. Mr. Dawood, let's start the interview by telling us a bit about yourself. When I say about yourself, we are interested in the professional side in terms of your experience and that's relevant to the CBA. And if you are successful with candidacy for the board of the CBA, what kind of innovation as a legal or perspective should we bring to the CBA to make it more effective in the functions that it's
managed?
Okay,
good morning. We started getting involved in discussing views related to work in 2019 because after 94, we see, I think, through the border, particularly information through the border controls and the SAP, we started getting, and our kind of work being involved in link work through the 80s and 90s, we thought it's becoming a problem. In 98, we decided to do something about it, and we set up support groups in the Durban South area. And at that time, we didn't know much, so it wasn't easy because there wasn't much information available. And then over the years, we started to do a bit of research and investigated and found that there's only five states we have, and the political minorities, there are only five governments we have.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of public views being on the ground, seeing that huge problems that we have faced with the drugs becoming an increasing serious problem, we decided we had to do something, and we felt that we are obligated as South African citizens. We have to do something, we cannot wait for the double, do everything. So we decided to form an NGO, and we started running support groups, and we started offering counseling services. And then the thing about the statistics, the fact will tell you that the statistic is 0.02%. Around there, and went into this kind of why it is so low. And then we found that there were two main factors that were actually the problem. There was sleep directly in kids and peer pressure. And we started to put a lot of emphasis on the current effect. And over the years now, we have formed this crowd to take on the global level. And we started running. We know that the state has done problems. We would immediately get the funds to come into the program. Put a lot of emphasis on certain fields, and we found that has made a huge difference. Because when you work with somebody with an addiction problem in isolation, what you're doing is you're empowering him, but you're not empowering the family how to deal with it. And in most cases, the guy goes back home with all the wealth of information that he got from treatment center, only to go home and learn, practice his skills again, how to manage his family. And the family don't know their rights. I mean, the day he also had life, I mean, being abused, and we started to empower families, and we found that we have cases where they have not been in the treatment centers, and they are hit just by empowering families. So working with it, with family in different forms of isolation, really, we found that not the work that you have. We decided to work with families together with the recovery. We printed hundreds of thousands of these things, and we gave them to schools, well, rest in case, and all that. So going to school on a regular basis, and we give this to all the support with all the countries. So Pulse is for, if you know somebody has a drug problem, it's coming in, it's coming in help, it's basic information as well. Families, the community, from our knowledge, being on the ground, we are totally, from our investigation, we are totally not prepared for this problem. We are empowered enough to deal with it. And we felt that if you educate people, you are empowering them. Everybody thinks that if you put the guy in the treatment center and it's cured, we're putting a lot of emphasis on aftercare programs. In fact, we want to set up, you would like to see a support group in every town. That's our aim. So we want to add to the entire thing. We want to empower the masses. And then we said, what about kids that are in school that could become potential infections? What we've done is we've got a lot of school awarenesses. We've got a lot of community awarenesses, you know, in school, churches, whatever, gatherings. We go in and we do awareness. We do motivate the talks. We bring in success cases and we motivate the community. And we found that to make a huge difference. You know, when you empower a community, you know, you actually, you know, look at the skills to deal with problems.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Texas area, and if you look at the Melbourne, you know, if you look at the Western Cape Flats, we've been to like 500 cases, not the Western Cape anyway. These are all communities. When a guy has a problem, and if you, we bring the family together, we will not counter you if you don't see your family. By bringing your family into the program, this reduces, just bring it right down. You know, a parent says no, we did a little thing to see how many parents, I mean, German, heroin shoes is a big problem.
Yeah.
And we said, listen, tell us, how many of you have seen it? Nobody. We said, okay, Mr. Boston, some letters we called, some cases, we passed around, and everybody thought it was the very first time. So what we done was, we made a book. We made a book that
can
we
you, are... Can you just pause the time to come to me? Just...
Okay,
yeah. Where's the book? Have you co-authored this?
Sorry?
This one and that one. Have you? Are you part of the author?
Yes, I have okay. Been consolidation.
Yeah.
Remember.
Yeah, I'm telling you that you were part of. Because you've been quite responsible for publishing it.
Yes,
right?
Yes. That's
what I want to
yes.
Know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now what we've done was we made a book, a handbook that we want to make it 10,000. We've got a sponsor for it. We're giving. Every family needs to have the book. They need to know what to do if there's a problem. And it's very basic information. So we are in the process of printing 10,000 of these. And we want to make it available to
everyone. That show what drugs look like.
It shows you what the drugs look like. It tells you everything you need to know. But this is a school reading, so there's lots of things. But this is basically tells you. I mean, sometimes a guy could pack cocaine. I mean, he could be on it for 6 months or a year. And pack cocaine, there's no smell or anything. You just have to see the behavior. If the family know what the wrappings look like or what the paraphernalia looks like, obviously they'll be able to pick it up soon. So when anybody told us, what have you seen? I mean, what have you seen in the house? All the car air is broken. All the tops of the chairs and everything. So we know what drug you're using. So by giving public this information, you are empowering.
So they use the top of the pen for the slip of the cocaine.
Sorry?
So they use the top of the pen for the slip of the cocaine.
No, they use it for crack cocaine. If you use the pen top, it must be a metal pen top. Because I use plastic, you know, so I'm going to use glass cylindrical object for poor car airbus for crack cocaine. Because what happens is you've got to inhale the fume, you know, so, and it gets hot. So, and you know, crack cocaine to us is one of the worst. I mean, heroin gives you serious physical, you know, problems. But crack cocaine really. One of the worst stuff you would have. If you look at 50 youth and TV on it, Mr. Spears has been it, you know, and one show that really the real channel, not many people have a way of dealing with the stuff. But we have a team now. Now the thing is, how do we do this thing? We are just a few people and need everything.
But let's get to you. If you are a successful candidate for the CDA, what kind of perspectives would you bring to the CDA? So that's the question.
Okay, the thing that I would like to do is from experience we found that the lack of information, lack of knowledge, foundation, on the ground, working on the ground, they seem to be, we need to get closer to the ground, people that are working on the ground. For example, we've done a number of work in the Inanda area, and it was sad to see that a lot of people moving in the town or around the area could identify what we did. I mean, they're sitting in isolation, everyone's thinking about title of the problem and not speak about it. And a lot of them are not empowered. They don't agree. So we need to get closer to grassroots and just narrow the gap, because that I found to be a big problem. And empowerment, awareness, and also harness NGOs. There are a lot of people. The most important ingredient of our position is you have got to have the heart. And there are a lot of people that want to make a difference and they don't have the expertise or don't have the necessary training. We would like to bring these people together and empower them. For example, in the Inanda area, the neighbor of the guy that was living on the street, he would put a little check and he is keeping like 30 people. And the only people have got the drone. He came down there and he was there and went to the place and saw the place. There are guys in the local area in the responsibility, they want to do something. So we linked up with them and they want to have a passion, they want to serve the community, but they don't have a skill. We would like to harness all NGOs, NPOs, and bring them closer and empower them.
Thank you.
No. Maybe we can hear this from another angle. Who benefits and how do you get to be, how do you think to get down to that person, the people who benefit out of this? I know that you have the pillars on this. Ultimately, they are not the real people who benefit out of this. There are others who are behind them. What do you think can be done to them?
Yeah, of course we know that the real guy is sitting in, you know, far away with all, and the people that are actually dealing, I mean, are just people that are doing it because they're probably doing it for the income. So the real dealers, of course, they are going to get all the departments together. You're going to get SAR, SAPS, they're all going to come together, and we have to have some type of network to look into these people, because
Can you link up your comments to the new drug master plan in the provinces for the national drug master plan?
Yes, if we implement it properly, it can work. You know, if the mini drug master plan, obviously we don't see, we haven't really seen it, being implemented, but if we can implement that, that would be good. So we are guys on the top. You need to get all the relevant authorities to come together.
Okay, but in terms of the CDA, if you look at the CDA, there's supposed to be many drug master plans in provinces, right? Where you will have certain stakeholders all together. It's a thing in all. So even in your province, and then you have the national drug master plan that is overseen by the CDA, the Central Drug Authority. So that is what I was trying to ask you. So in your experience, are you saying that some of these stakeholders are not involved in your problem, like the asset forfeiture unit, SARS, and so on? From what you know,
if we are linked with the Colombian Drug Customs Department, and we have regular meetings, we've been there since 2001, and all we see is talk, money. And that is the one, because for example, the SMORGA, the rollout of the SMORGA program, we are in operation since 1998, heard about it, we never heard it. What else is implemented, we don't know. yet if we can maybe get these practices to function properly, get them to hold them accountable and get them to deliver, then we can make a huge difference, because government, we need to align ourselves with government and we need to work with government, we need to network together and we all need to have a common goal and we need to share information, we need to, we need to have a link. So the link with the passenger is called in KVN. It's just sitting there and it doesn't have any connection on the ground.
I'm taking from what you recall. I think you are a director of this foundation. I'm sure before, if I know that you get an interview from the board member of the BA, but what I want to share with you is, won't there be any conflict in terms of your service, both to the foundation and the CGA? Because if you look at, in terms of the terms of reference of the members who sit in CGA, they are required to have a set aside sufficient time to look into the matters of the CGA. So I'm saying, in terms of putting up sufficiently robust input into the CGA, wouldn't that contradict with the foundation of the CGA?
Okay, I'm the director of the organization, but what happens, I have a lot of, I allocate a lot of time for counseling and that type of thing. And I have the liberty of, I travel a lot, I travel all over the place, and I can make, you see, the thing is, we need to ask ourselves, is that we need to make a difference, we need to do something. And we must believe that we can do it. And of course, rather than sitting out there and just decide, it's good to get in and give your input. And I'm sure, if the time has to be made, it will be made. It's not going to be a problem. Because I've actually, we trained enough people to take on the responsibilities. And I can maybe, free myself a little bit if need be.
Okay, thank you.
Is it all water?
Thank you. I'm Mr. Dunn. The CEA has been passed a lot of study in our key authority. You started one thing, the key water campaign, which you haven't seen in your province. But all the other aspects, for example, the departments don't, not all the departments, some departments don't submit their reports on time, etc. How would you ensure that the CEA gets some teeth and muscles?
Yeah, you see, if you look at an organization like this, it was not known, and what made it go was a team of dedicated people. And what we're lacking is commitment, and we need to commit ourselves, because we can have all these places in place, and if we don't have drive and commitment, it's not going to happen. So they need to probably put a lot of emphasis. I know CDA basically, in KZS, we see the CDA members, but I don't think anybody listens to them. Because maybe the department is too busy with own, little thing, and they don't, and they take CDA for like it. CDA needs to, we need to really let them see, in terms of driving it, you want to drive it, make them understand that, listen, you are accountable to the CDA. We got to just enforce it. Do regular contact with organizations and hold them accountable.
Thank you, Honourable Father.
Yes. I was just looking at the before you act, what do you see as the powers and the function of the CEO?
From my understanding, the CDA is basically, I think all provinces that go there, the LDAC, then you get the subsidy from them, the CDA. The CDA, to my knowledge, is supposed to be the overall in charge and taking control. And empowering and that type of thing. That's my understanding of the TV.
Honorable Kuna?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Devon, how will you ensure that the quality of the interpretation in advising the limits of the shelter of the net can be put into balance if you can be appointed in this book. All the experience.
How do you
ensure the quality and integrity in advising the Minister of Social Development and reporting?
Yeah, what we do is we have a year planning meeting where we give ourselves tasks for the year.
I'm taking you out of RAUS.
Yes.
I'm taking you now as a board. As a board member of the group. Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
What would you do to strengthen and to empower or to advise the minister maybe of things that you see down there or you want to make so that the city in his function?
Yes, what we would do is we would have a meeting and a regular contact through email or whatever and inform them on a regular basis of whatever investigations or findings that we have. And we've got to make regular contact. And we've got to be very assertive and we've got to drive this. We've got to go there say, supposing we see that something needs to be done. You know, besides just bring the information, pull it through and see that the message is going across and that they feed them. Because sometimes the minister could be busy and may not be able to reply the spot and but ask continuously. So all information must be handed over or passed over to the CDA through communication level. They need to do is probably workshop it and get more NGOs involved in terms of redefining the Act because the Act sometimes is a bit far back, it's a bit vague. And for somebody out there, for example, if you go into a community and there's an organization that wants to do work, the Act must be able to accommodate them. I don't see a lot of that with regards to empowering NPOs and NGOs. It needs to be.
Well, the Act look at
it. Yes, if you look at it, the Act basically tells you about treatment centers and the whole thing about, you know, eradicating the problem through the necessary channels, to my knowledge. I mean, I haven't got very deep into it, but I've been reading it recently, and it tells you basically that, you know, about treatment centers operations and, you know, how they go to hospitals and what they do for hospitals and that type of thing. It doesn't tell you anything about happy hospitals. To my knowledge, I haven't seen anyone up here.
Mm-hmm.
It is allowed. It needs to be real. But you see, you've got to bring in people from the ground to give input because, you know, they are actually on the field and they're working and they know what they're dealing with.
Okay.
Some of the things that I might not have taken, not to me, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Is there anyone that I want to take a second back on the member? Honourable Plaisy?
No, I'm saying in your response, the response that you told me about the state of the Act. I just want to say, I ask you, if you have gone through the national travel supply, do you draw the same deduction on that plan? How do you see it against the Act?
It is a little bit more detailed. It can even the drug master plan, it needs to be more detailed in terms of even there is not much about halfway up. Mm-hmm. After care program, not much emphasis put in there as well. It's really we need to I would say it has improved a lot, it's a bit more detailed and that type of thing. Like again, I've never really looked deep enough into it.
Okay. Honourable.
Thank you. Mr. Dawood, if you were to be part of the CDA, which other function is currently to review the National Drugs Master Plan, what kind of changes would you suggest?
Okay, being there and of course, because of the field experience that we had, we'd like to see more involvement or more implementation of harnessing communities, LDACs, that type of thing. And in terms of changing it, I haven't really looked into that to see what we can, to see. But I think for now, if we can just implement what we have, it will make a big difference. Yes, we ran into problems with chat for the last 6 years.
Oh.
And the anti-drug problem with chat. But you see, chat was had an awareness program about a month ago. And there again, it was not a big success. It didn't go very well because we are in the Texas area. I think we have more people in town for the problem than people that are in the market. So it is about denial, community denial, and again by educating and awareness and media and reaching out and advertising and promoting the type of things more than very effectively putting that. But there's an active there are a lot of organizations. But in terms of delivery, there's nothing much happening.
And they could make it.
We are part of the LDA in Jackson. Again, these are just pop-ups. You only see them in meetings. For example, when they had the march, we were just, I think, three organizations that were part of the LDA were there present. So it's just basically, just come for meetings and you don't see them anymore. And after the DA had a march from years ago, and we were there. So now it's taking the time to get something off the ground.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dallas. Do you have any questions to clarify around the interview issue?
No.
Okay.
I think I was walking, so I didn't prepare as per se. All I want to say is that I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity. And I'm from one of the regular people in our program is Kumil Roma. Our honorable president is a sister of, and she's from the she's reached out in about one area. And, she's trying to slow up and to see that, how serious the problem is and how little that she basically commands that fight. There's nothing that she can do to help the community and for her to come to people like us, to do her sisters. And it's quite regular in our meetings, it is said. And our late Fatima Mir's brother, our cousin, Faust Mir, and instead of he comes into the program, because the problem, obviously through the CDA, we would like to maintain some link because we are there to say everyone make a difference, because we come from from the struggle and we have a lot of education in the thick in Mandatikia, and then we work a lot in the relief thing through the political thing, and we are serious about it. We are very serious about this. And you are looking for fun, you just want to go out there and make a difference. And if you have one family, you'll be late. And what we'd like to see is that you really like you just get getting some seeds and implementing and making sure that, I'm a thank you for giving the opportunity because I set my seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I can walk away from here right after that I stated my seat. And then, I heard an honorable one day, I said, yes, I did mention it.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Will you just check? It says the professor's plane about to arrive. Should we just check with Mr. Prophet Hussain Ibn? We'll be arriving, you know? So then we can cut our time. And Dr. Pia Kamakam. They're not coming with you. Okay. So if you're staying, maybe you're staying with us somewhere. You're talking.
Right.
Who's next? Mr. Ghana. Good morning, Mr. Ghana. By yourself? Ghana, you've been nominated to serve on the CDA board. Could you tell us a bit about yourself, like your professional life, and some of your experience, what kind of experience and focus will you bring to the Central Drug Authority? That will be advising the minister on alcohol and substance abuse issues. But before that, I totally forgot the summer to say that I'm Miranda Boort. I'm a chairperson of the Board of Community and Social Development. Please forgive me Friday, it's Thursday, it's evening Friday. And on my left we have, and right, I've got members of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development in the National Assembly, as well as members of the Select Committee in the NPOP on Social Development. So I'm going to ask the member on my screen right just to start introducing yourself. And then, Mr. Ghana, welcome. And over to you.
To come with innovative
narrative and the corner that's going to talk to our peers, young people, and Mandy and Sensibite, and must talk our language as young people, and the issues of social science, the issues of local and community administration, the newspaper, because the more we have a voice in terms of raising such issues, the more we are able to be reachable. For example, CPA and provincial subsidiaries forums are forums of which are not there, or to which no, they are on the ground. And some of the abuses that I'm coming from, the rural general friendship, and of course our challenges, they are the same. So what I will be adding really on is the issues of the language that needs to be spoken in terms of young people, and in terms of innovative and incentivizing. For example, some of our programs that are dead on the ground, there is a lack in terms of incentives. So will Lofish has assist in terms of bringing young people, because they'll come as of for the incentive, and then they're able to send the message. So basically, my part in terms of adding is that element that has of the that language of young people, because I'm young and certainly material in touch with the crowd, then that's the element that because the policy and the strategy is that's the method of making sure that we talk the language with the provincial persons abused. And as you know that the central authority is the rental part of the office needs as people who is actually in the world, who will be able to inspire change in terms of the provincial persons that in forum in terms of local part of in committees, and then be able that as one of the to make sure that it coordinates and implements and guides all those structures. So the more we are there in terms of helping out those structures and inspiring change, because you know some of the departments, they are not people specific that deal with the issue of substance, and they are not designated people that deal with the special on the local and the structure in municipality. Only in the province you will find that so how do you inspire other and personnel within the department? Those are some of the things that I think I can add in terms of it, because in terms of community and community. So yeah, in a nutshell, again, that's the kind of aspect that I'm going in the South.
Okay, thank you.
All the province and the local population need to make their money.
Because it's a business issue, and I use challenge in
Not poker.
So we find that this and the
they don't have attachment, and they're still in the process, they're relapsed. Either they end up not going for treatment, but they change hard and say, because the process goes to school or the program, either they come from far, it's not sustainable because they can't access such facilities. And we find that for a doctor, it costs about 1 week in terms of the time, because we refer them, because we don't have a setup, but we refer them to bank officials, because the doctor before they can be endorsed to a certain extent, they must be that a process that the doctor must learn and the social work will be there. So we do need to bring in that aspect.
Thank you. On the top.
Thank you. Mr. Gallant, one of the challenges faced by the CEA has been the non-compliance by government bodies when the provinces submit their plans to address the substance abuse to the CEA. What measures do you think need to be taken to improve that compliance?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it was honestly for 50 days to make sure that that compliance was specific because they were not forced by law, those departments, as you know, because process development is a legal organization, but it was a voluntary thing for this department, of which some of them were writing and I must say some were coming on for things. But with the draft on the 23rd and 26th, I hope he comes to check on the 1st of October. There will be four. In terms of making sure that the campaign and the national pragmata plan is clear in terms of how to go about the in terms of those programs. It's just a matter of, I think, of communicating and having people from public entities from the CTG and certainly so because you know with substance abuse is not a fashionable in that. If you have people who will be active, who will be motivated, who will be interested, who will understand the challenges that we are facing, will understand that we need to constantly communicate with the relevant stakeholders in those departments. So the more you effectively communicate consistently, so I think it will come from a lot of communication and then that communication must be open. In terms of the department and the other stakeholders, what is nice is that the policy and the major terms of information from the place is progressive. That's the matter of communicating, and being active and understanding the bigger picture. And you know, with the work in progress, you don't usually see impact, for example, the long-term thing. So the moment that you come with that you want to see impact tomorrow, then you'll be discouraged. Hence, you need people who are motivated, people who understand the situation, understand the vision of the country. And that's where we know it's a lack of resources. But I believe with everybody coming on board in terms of working amongst ourselves and within the partnership,
and
if it will help the country, but communication is very key. Thank you. Mr. Garner, you spoke about the improvements in the new National Drug Master Plan on holding the department to account. But how do you think the Central Drug Authority can become more visible in the minds of the public? Most people don't even know this. How would you try to do that?
Thank you very much. The more we're having an active member of the local corporation, active, I mean, making sure that such existing local transition committees like ours, they are there. Where there are no local transition committees, they make sure that they work with the provincial to initiate and create a platform. But not only creating that structure, making sure that those structures, they have programs. Those programs must talk to that community, they must talk to the national pragmatic community. So basically, we could have programs that are progressive and in terms of the media space in terms of making sure that the and the communication in terms of the social side, its role and program and the question was before, I think people will end up look and make know about the factors. But if you can't just have a certain factor for the rate that is there, but doesn't have a program, doesn't interact with the relevant structures in the partners. So the more we talk with the relevant departments and structures and make sure that it implements that program, the things will go a long way. And with the, I believe, with the national new structure plan, it will have a great deal compared to the previous national structure plan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Kahn. Yeah. Mr. Kahn. One of the key functions of CBA is to advise the minister on new approach or challenges that they do in terms of implementing the partnership and the critical intervention that they seek to get from the minister. I want to ask you the question, how would you as a member in the CBA, the board, will ensure quality data and integrity of information that you're giving to the administrative minister?
Yes, I think through the monthly meeting and being active in terms of those programs, because the structure, computer systems that use program and the department and the local action committee meeting, they must have their mini tax master plan. And then from their mini tax master plan, basically it's a business plan. And with their business plan, you know when and how the program will take place. So we'll make sure that you can base on such programs and activities. And then from that activity, you'll be able to gather some information as elsewhere and encourage those startups to submit. And they are caught. And then from the other course, we have existing some rules among our team, rules and to the expect in terms of gathering of information, I think will assist in that regard. So the more we are active and making sure that the information is provided and intact by the department, I think will going crazy. But that's where, as we know, that the central authority is to guide as well. And with my experience being there on the ground, knowing and understanding the challenges, it should be easy and to assist in that regard to figure out this kind of message, this kind of viable or feasible or not, a true reflection of what is happening on the ground. I think with that experience that I have, I think that's what will help, and I believe that most of the members of the force are people who are involved in this in manual or not. And collectively, so I think we'll complement each other.
I just want to, same question. How about not happy about the response, but to check where just to rephrase this question. You, like you said, you always collect information. That information assists you to run the organization and submit to what I but I want to check with you. What is it that you put in place to make sure that the information you're collecting is authentic, quality information, and it's got an integrity? That information now is unquestionable that you take to the minister. Because apparently, some of the forum or members, they sit down, they say, hey, it's reporting time. They just write down information, which you can't even locate it and make it strong. No. You understand what I'm saying? Does not have an integrity. So I'm telling you, how are you going to make sure, you, that the information sent up there is of great value? Maybe it's got an integrity and correct.
No, the Honorable, I think it's one of the challenges. I believe if we could have, as I've said before, selfless people who is active. When I say active and selfless, it means who go on the ground and make sure that there is a route, through this, in terms of the five so that as when the report are said, they don't become Japan because they familiarize themselves with the programs, they familiarize themselves with the document that are there. And yes, it's not going to be easy to go over the thing, but I think with that and making sure that we inspire and change and inspire other colleagues who are involved in that, etc. Make sure that the information that they collect is genuine, so that we are able to send the information that is a truth. But the honorable is a challenge. I can't say I will make sure, but I think with and inspire citizens and members of the Council of the will make sure that they become active involved in the process and they will be successful.
Okay, thank you.
First one, you need to be quite familiar with the terrain of anti-drug ultimatum. In the current discourse on drug abuse, what are the major policy issues that are being floating around, that are being debated over? And secondly, coming from the NGO, how do you ensure that people from the NGO do not use their position on the CDA to advantage their babies? I mean, the organization, I think, Soham Youth Project, it's a baby. So how do you ensure that you don't use your position on the CDA to advantage that organization to the detriment of others?
That one is the heart of the happening. In terms of taking your position, because all the NGOs or infrastructure are required to follow the same. And the limits are remain because most of them are part of the team. And automatically, even if it doesn't meet a doesn't follow the protocol, and automatically things will happen. I think that one is kind of social development at all and the limits are. But as well, in terms of my experience, we will help especially in terms of working rights and other areas in terms of inspiring them and advising them in terms of getting them on how to go about instead of not only looking at the government but making sure that maximize the use and the private sector and other stakeholders within our community. So in terms of is it going to be an advantage for Soham Youth Project because the existing organization they are members is I think that it can be possible, especially when you look at the political government and the NGOs that have the end of the protocol with regard to the social development for the private sector.
The policy issues.
All the policy issues are honest, the honorable. The policies are there and they are here. It's just the matter of putting them into action.
I think we did not understand. I was saying that in the current discourse, in the discussions that are going on all over about substance abuse, during those discussions, what are the key policy issues that have been thrown up?
Can you please...
In terms of the area of substance abuse, what are the key issues that are there in the media? We want your opinion. Not in the media, but out here, in the public. What are the key issues, or the key concerns around substance abuse, but more policy orientated.
I think the issues that are in terms of improvement to impact of the and the corruption of this government and the unemployment and several issues that are
leads to social ills. That are leading to social ills, or how does poverty lead what? Can you just make that clear?
Yes, it does, because they make a special and if you are no active workers, make a community, official government for vulnerable from this bad laws and so pushing the issue for that. So I think with an active attack in the community and city, it's where you need to come with the policies and intervention so that to make sure that we and that's where the issues of the left really hard, because the integration and aftercare programs are not there, and in other programs that are capable of making sure that the needs are being redirected so that we can have achieved. Those are issues that have been being addressed, but the national government has played in the climate funding. With an active central health authority, we'll be able to close that gap and judgment and the issue of communication in media, because to find that there has been much communication in terms of on the side of the central health authority in terms of raising some of the articles, to find that there are misconceptions and not fair. But the more the central health authority talks through such issues, I think it could help going on.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gallup. Is there any question from your side? You must just remember that we are not social development in Parliament. So you can't ask a line function questions around CA or substance abuse. But just about, is there anything that you'd like to know?
No, I think in terms of the policy
It's a regulation. What was going to be proclaimed?
Regulations
on the current act. There's no regulations yet, right? In October. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. I've been saying the regulation issue every year. But I can My name is Yolanda Bota. I'm the chairperson of the Policy Committee for Social Development in the National Assembly. With me today, I have members from the Portfolio Committee, as well as members from the Select Committee on Social Services in the NCP. And because this is a panel of the Winter Media for the CDA. So I'm going to ask honourable member of my team, right, just to introduce yourself.
My name is Pat Duncan.
Good morning, my name is Dylan Foreman, I'm from the National Cultural Province. Good morning, I'm Michael Waters from the National Assembly.
My name is Iko Plati from the National Cultural Province.
From Thabo Makunya, from the Limpopo, member of the NCOP.
Professor Stein, let's start off with the interview with you telling us about your professional health, and also if you are successful in your candidacy for the CDA, what kind of I also want to say renewal, because the board is up for renewal. Your innovation and fresh ideas that you were bringing to the CDA, where you thought maybe it was lacking previously.
Great to meet everyone. I'm a doctor. I trained at the University of Cape Town. I've been trained in psychiatry. I've been subspecialized in pharmacology. I then worked at the University of Stellenbosch in the Department of Psychiatry, and about 7 years ago I moved to the University of Cape Town. For 15 years I've run the Medical Research Council, the External Medical Research Council unit in psychiatry, that's the MRC unit on anxiety disorders. I've set up UGT Brain Behavior Initiative, which is a research and teaching initiative around brain and care. And when I moved to the University of Cape Town as the head of the department of psychiatry, I thought that I needed to focus research, teaching, and services on the most important clinical issues in the laboratory. And to my mind, those three substances, HIV in the brain, neuro-HIV, and the matter of psychological trauma. Well, each of those three areas we have at the university, as well as with collaborators around the country, develop research and teaching and services. So, for example, with regard to substances, we carried out the first nationally representative epidemiological survey of and mental disorders in the country. It was also the first measure of sensitive survey in Africa, which gives us prevalence rates and comorbidity of substance use disorders. We obtained research money from the Medical Research Council for research on the causes of substance use, and we have obtained some funding from products, where it's okay for intervention research. And we have done similar things in HIV and psychological trauma. We have, in this case, also established the first specialty program in addiction psychiatry in Africa. So that's an honor to train first addiction psychiatrists to open to psychologists, but so far only psychiatrists can apply. The first person to do the program was in fact a Nigerian doctor, which used the funding from the government and didn't have funding from anyone in South Africa, but we did have funding from Nigeria. Our first graduate was actually Nigerian, to return to Nigeria, and is now the only addiction psychiatrist in that country. We have obtained some funding now for South African who is currently training in addiction psychiatry. It may seem odd to talk about the specialties, but we have in many, many subspecialties. So when we train in medicine, we then become a cardiologist, pulmonologist, nephrologist. And if you're at Kutuskuna, many of the people training, for example, in cardiology are from other parts of South Africa and other parts of Africa. So Prusik is well known for producing cardiology subspecies, dental cusps. We have not to date in Africa succeeded in training subspecies in the kite. So for example, we have a huge population of children and adolescents, and the Africa population is weighted for children and adolescents. We have fewer than 15 child countries in South Africa, and probably fewer than the rest of the continent. So we are committed to training for specialists for ourselves, for the country, and to share ethnic care, and I'll be responsible for the change for the first time in South Africa, but our major specialists in damage substitutes, as well as some others, which I'd like to turn over. So that's my professional background. We've also been, I just want to say, because we took some specialty with specialists, we're doing chronic care, because care is better than ourselves. We don't have the resources to get any additional practice. We've got to do, in the field, it's called task shifting, or task share, where you have perhaps community workers, perhaps a benefit, perhaps not, providing services at the cold bath. And we have established a number of demonstration programs for that in these different areas, substances, HIV, and psychological trauma. That, of course, is not funded other than by research on it, because there's no infrastructure for that drug. So that's my professional background. In terms of the professionals that I would bring, I have two things. One is as a researcher, so I've been researching psychiatry for more than two decades. I think I'm the most published psychiatrist on the continent, and that's what I've done from the first National University in Switzerland. The second thing I've been is I'm a clinician. So I work every day with people with hospitals. So if you come to Chris's hospital, and if I direct clinical responsibility is Ward C22, which in general has close to 100% substance abuse problems. So in general, in Crystal C22, every day people admitted for psychosis due to substance abuse, that being our primary problem. But we have got someone uncooperative dealing with this every day.
Okay, thank you.
I see you've been doing a lot of work. Now, if your work is to be part of the CDA, and then you have the kind of people that you just mentioned, that people will be working on the countries, working with them in that. What value do you think you can add, and specifically from your area, with people who are in daily contact with the issue on the ground?
So, my CDA is charged with implementing the National Master Drug Policy. And my understanding is that the master plan is excellent. However, my understanding also, and you have to forgive me if I've not previously been involved at such a high level, is that there are difficulties with implementation. And the question becomes, what is the most key to implement? And that will depend on who you ask. So if you are asking a policy maker, and that policy maker will say, well, clearly what you need to do is change legislation around this one. Now, I would be happy to consider that, but I'm clearly not the legislator. I'm someone who's working on the ground. So I would be having an interest in certain other things that are not being done. For example, we have no treatment focus, no medical treatment that we have access to. No reservation. We have very few medical treatments. So although one of the strategies is harm reduction, and although in the end the National Market Drug Plan talks about certain kinds of harm reduction, for example, pharmacological treatment, I can tell you that the Western people don't have access to those because our drug therapeutics committee have not found money for that. So I can say to you, I've got patients that come in with psychosis. We don't have adequate treatment. say to you where that's going on and what everything needs to be changed and what you implement policy better. Only from a research point of view, I can look at, for example, the National Master Drug Plan, and I can say that the research done, I looked at some of the research, is methodologically flawed. And I can tell you what better research is needed. Because the research that was presented in the previous National Master Drug Plan has got major methodological problems. Research is only a critical methodology used, so I can advise on the research. Finally, from a university perspective, I can keep saying things which people may know, which are highly pertinent. For example, a high education system is not producing people that know how to train, people that know how to treat substance use problems. So you may have an NMDA, National Master Drug Plan, and it may be excellent, but and it may talk about harm reduction. Sitting at a university, I can tell you, I told about one person from Nigeria that we trained. We're not training when they learn how to treat people. I can feed that back to you, and I can help you develop appropriate strategies.
Regarding the accountability by CBA, what will you do to ensure that CBA comply and accounts for its work?
I have to admit to the weakness that I've met. As I said, I've never sat with such a high volume before. It struck me that I'm not completely aware of the mechanism. So I'll give you an example. I was notified by this meeting. I was notified about yesterday. Now, it struck me that's not good. But I don't know the mechanism for ensuring that that doesn't happen again. It struck me that you need to ensure accountability. In this case, someone made a mistake. I don't know the mechanism. I would need to be able to put on the committee to figure out what you just think is going wrong. So I hope to learn more about that. I presume there are mechanisms in place. I know, for example, that the DEA look regularly at the reports coming in from the province. But I'm not clear what you do if the province doesn't report back. I'm understanding that some of the province haven't reported back. I don't know the mechanisms, many of the political mechanisms, which had to extend the again, but we're here. I'm a little bit struggling with that. When things are going wrong, you remember what things you do. If things are not going well, I'll give you two examples. The fact that some provinces don't report, and the fact that I was told last 20 years that those are two things going wrong. I want to admit that I have no clue, and if I'm a person, I'd like to try and find out.
Thank you, Professor. I mean, you've raised some pertinent issues, and I realize you're not on the board, but the board does suffer from a lack of credibility and authority, generally. And you've raised the one point about provinces not reporting or reporting late, and many departments report late as well. I know you said that it may be a political solution to get the provinces and the departments to report on time. But apart from that, how would you make the Central Drug Authority more relevant and have more teeth generally, if you did that? I know you come from that academic side, but how would you ensure that it gets more teeth?
Yeah, I'm much stronger than I'm weak again. So I think I'm strong academic and strong research. Mm. But the question of how to make a data set of authority have more teeth is definitely a political question. You have to legislate it. You have to develop legislation that says if the problems are delayed, someone is going to die. Now, I don't know how to legislate that. I mean, that is a legislative question, a political question. It requires, I assume, members of this committee to be able to their political constituencies. So, my big worry, I'm kind of working on the project.
Mm-hmm.
My big worry is I get a bunch of them and do nothing. And, you know, that would be disastrous. I think sometimes, but I'd rather be critical from inside than from outside. If I'm sitting at the University of Cape Town, and this organization has got enough teeth, and I just feel okay. If I get on the organization, at least I can meet people that sit around the table. And when I see them, I think, guys, come on! You know, but, you know, that's the best I can do. I don't just do it from inside and outside.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable.
Then I'm not too far on this article. There's a lot on the
Honourable Puma. Honourable Kreta.
Honourable, I'm very excited. I think that asking questions of the person who has called it. It's a good thing. But one interesting thing was especially on the side of one new education, that's for letting up that you're teaching the people from, you know, other age. You got that, you can do it. But influencing the get submissions from community, teachers, you know, don't work. So you don't draft and then get submissions from people. So this could be one of those to be able to influence and I don't want to say we have no, one question that I would like to ask you, because you spoke about that it's myself from your perspective, I was concerned about my own, that we do have conversations that are going to be taken care of, which sometimes, then, at least in terms of making sure that Sydney, but one of the two that even one of what has talked about was lack of credibility, which at the moment is starting with a number of times. It's not known the act which was done to make sure that this is, that this act of parliament, to make sure that it's implemented, that it doesn't happen. Parliament from countries that today is not opening. So I'm linking this with the conversation that you are in the field already. You know what it is, but you could assist in terms of making so. I want to use your way that says, so that hey guys, get inside with your experience from outside, so it's just a comment, so that you don't feel like there's nothing that you can do, you can do a lot. But while questions are going to ask, I can waste time and ask questions because I saw that you know about the act. There's a change of legislation that you said, Mr. Mahoney, which part do you think need to change? Because you also mentioned change of legislation.
I take your point that must come from the government, from the community.
Yeah.
I take it from sometimes we shouldn't need a learning approach. So for me, the first learning is that I can figure out maybe better from here to here what are the right changes. In terms of what legislation should change, again, I do say that I'm not a legislator. It strikes me that there are a number of legislative capabilities. There could be, one of the most proven and accepted throughout the world legislative possibility is using taxation on alcohol for prevention and treatment purposes. I know that has been thought about in South Africa, but it hasn't actually transpired. Current discussions about a health promotion foundation and using a percentage for health promotion foundation, that has not actually happened. A point on the member to Kenya, where in the last year, Kenya established legislation where they took the care industry and they used taxation on that to establish prevention and treatment standards. Excellent legislation, we should have some of that. Another common legislation that could be possible legislation and our training. At the moment, anyone can go out there and treat people with health issues. Not well legislated. How many years of training you need? Why? What context? The whole infrastructure. Even the infrastructure around the community of workers is not particularly well. The policy around that has not been particularly well either legislated or implemented, and I'm not sure which needs to go. And what I'm talking about when I said that is, for example, the new category of B-site train, but then they weren't employed. That's a going to be fact. As a community health worker, we've had people employed, but we don't have a clear training framework in the area of substance abuse. They've been employed in the area of HIV. Clearly, if they're working in HIV as community health workers, they have to do substance abuse. That isn't happening. But I'm not sure if that's legislative or legislative plus.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Professor Stein. Is there any questions that you'd like to ask? Okay. But let me apologize, you only got the call yesterday. I don't know who called you. But we've done our preparations quite ahead of time, so we will sort that out in turn.
Thank you very much. Good luck to work.
My name is Thabo Akunyan. I come from Limpopo. I'm a member of the NGOP.
I'm Steve Bright. I'm from the National Council of Provinces.
Good morning. My name is Willem Favre, and I represent the National Council of Provinces.
My name is Lorena Kostomini, the National Council of
Provinces. Thank you. And this is our support staff, and members of the the business from the Department of Social Development. Dr. Van Tuyl, let's start this interview off. I mean, I'm sure if you've read other interviews in your life, that's usually the entry point. Can you tell us a bit about your could you tell us a bit about your professional life? And then, if you are the successful candidate to be on the CBA board, to serve the CBA board, what value would you be adding to the board? If you look at the current CBA board and the work that it's doing, what other perspectives would you bring to the board?
I'm a senior dental pharmacologist at the University of Joint Staff Coalition of the University and the University of Hospital. In my general work, I have three main responsibilities. One would be the lecturing to medical students, with the health professionals and nurses on pharmacology. And the second one is the clinical involvement. So I'm part of the drug and poison information center that we have in education. So we have consultation service for overdose care and so forth. The third leg of my involvement is on research. So we have been active researcher. Now, up until last year, I entered academia actually at the most stage in my life. I started working at the university in 2001.
2016, I was a medical doctor, so I didn't have a background in pharmacology or in veterinary at all. So the past 10 years I spent on becoming a mentor and getting the right qualifications for the job. And that involves getting a master's degree and also a PhD, which I completed in 2010. After last year, I see myself as a lecturer that does some research in optic science. But last year, I was selected for the Vice Chancellor's Prestige Scholarship Program, and that changed things a bit because I see myself now as a researcher who lectures for the private. So, yeah. As far as the Alexander concerned, my involvement appears to be the in the harm reduction research. And so I'm concerned the treatment of these cases. I don't personally treat patients. I'm involved in this consultation as soon as it's possible, and also in other hospitals in the I think as far as TA is concerned, I think what I can add, I think I believe that we should see results in treatment and that by improving the outcome of treatment is an essential part of using results, firstly involving people and making people believe that we can actually contribute to the process. If they don't believe that treatment is effective, they will connect themselves to the
problem. Thank you. Honourable Blake, Blake? Come back to me.
Okay, Doctor. Regarding the VA. How would you, or can you put it differently? I know that you understand the legislative establishment of the CDA. The CDA was established as a result of the Parliament prevention and treatment of drug dependency. I want to get from your understanding is what the this act seeks to achieve. In your response, you must also respond in terms of your understanding of the national type of
okay.
Okay,
so as I understand it, the CDA is responsible for putting together the national government plan and also for the monitoring of the implementation of the national government plan, getting the structure in place and getting feedback from the structure in the government. I think it is important to put all the idea behind it is probably that the CDA should channel the response of the community and communicate the needs of the community through leader provincial structures and to put that together with input from the department. I think it functions as a channel of communication between the
community. Thank you very much, Honourable Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding accountability by the CDA, how do you do, what do you do to ensure that the CDA accounts for the community to work? How do you assure that?
I think it is a major problem for the CDA to say that some departments have not referred to the CDA. I think that a lot of responsibility usually goes with funding. So I think one should go and see the funds are allocated at a stage who is responsible for the contract and select the right person to give the feedback. Sometimes it's official, somebody is responsible for that, then it should be in a job description somewhere. If it's not, then one should go fishing for somebody that is interested in the problem to do that function.
Thank you.
What are the issues affecting families and communities regarding cannabis and quality of life?
The key issue, I think, number one, policy. I know that they've traded on that as the last priority in that research phase. They've failed various problems and they put policy at the end. But I think that poverty has got a lot to do with drug and alcohol abuse. I think that drug and alcohol in the one end, one seems the other. And so you will have people in poor situations drinking more, and you will also have people that are the other way around. People using alcohol and drugs is coming poor because of that. So it is a situation that speaks itself, and I think it is a major issue. Drug and alcohol abuse is a major issue in maintaining poverty. It is poverty. So to me, that those two things are always coming. From the news, from the community itself, they say that 30% poor parenting. They say one female child should not be doing that. Availability of substances. The fact that it is literally available everywhere, that is the main concern. Unemployment, the need for unemployment. So I think the economic deprivation that is inevitably linked to that, I think that should be the major concern. Thank you. I'm from Macron.
The area that is, it appears that from what I see, substance abuse is specifically among the poor. Do you think? Actually, maybe cover them all. You are working in a the highly elevated level there, pharmacology, research into that, and so on. But do you think you can be able to work with people who are every day in contact with people who have the kind of problems? Say people who are working in local community-based organizations and so on, and then who daily come into contact with the social effects of alcohol abuse and so on. And then, are you familiar with the new drugs that are coming onto the market?
Okay, I'm just going to elaborate on the economic impact. It is not that it is only found in poor people. There's some quite interesting research that was recently published in 2012 where they show that actually if people become poorer, if they become employed, in the beginning they don't think as much. And if they've been unemployed for a long time, they drink more. But also if people earn more, they also drink more. So you get a U-shaped distribution in terms of income. So it's not only a problem of the poor, but it is a major factor on keeping them poor. Because it also changes the way they make decisions. It cultivates poor decision making. So we end up in a very bad situation because of sequential poor decisions that are being made. As to working with people and others who are in contact with I don't think I've got a problem with that. I can relate to the people in different situations. I think what is maybe the gap there that I saw is that I think that I can bring a level of backing up the system that is interested in the especially with in terms of academic or evidence-based seeking for evidence. gone to Lakewood, I think that I can provide a backup service for you.
No, if you're like the main one, the other one is about new drugs.
New drugs. Okay. Well, I think that it's a challenge in this field is that there is constantly a challenge for especially a sensitive drug being produced. I don't really have clinical contact with patients exposed to these new drugs, and obviously one has to draw on the plans that you have with older drugs to extrapolate from that to make new plans for patients on these new drugs. Usually it is a treatment which involves symptomatic treatment before you can go for anything specific.
Thank you. Just tell us a bit about your thesis for your PhD.
Okay.
It sounds quite interesting. It says that then from page 2 of the curriculum, an integrated framework for the treatment of substance addiction in dependent in the first
stage. Yes. So, quickly, actually, what I did, I had 123 I had interviews with the general practitioners there. I had interviews with the state hospitals within there was some kind of psychologist and outsiders, from outsiders. But I basically want to know what all the psychiatrists in the last thing. I have some kind of So I had these interviews with them, and I specifically want to know how they use pharmacotherapy in the treatment of these patients, both during the intoxication phase and the relapse prevention phase. And then, so that was the basic plan. In my findings, I must say, it could not just be the pharmacotherapy. So I looked at the supporting structures that helped in the job. And I think I've got a good idea at the stage of how treatment services operate in the system. I think that in general people look at what data provided by the treatment center. But from that research it's clear that there's a lot of treatment actually going on under the radar.
Mm.
Because people had to be admitted to the community, they had to go away from the jobs, they had to be away from the community, the functionality. So in some cases, the general practitioner has to provide treatment in the town when they're on it and stuff. So that kind of treatment, I think, it is to a lower extent. Unfortunately, the design of the study did not allow to get hard figures on that. But you will see a statute pattern coming out actually in certain regions. People would have better support from, for instance, the state hospital providing the possibility for admission, for resuscitation. In other centers, they just didn't have that backup. So, in the end, I think one should, if we haven't made that, in general, I would say the picture that one gets is a very fragmented treatment that approach. It depends on where you are. If you've got a problem and you're in a room sometimes, people will complain about the best of. If you're in a place like Bethany and there's no services really, so you're on your own. And people would, in that environment, would probably just accept that you're in a colleague. They don't see that as something that you need to do. So, in bringing it together, I think there's a couple of things that I think that in applying pharmacotherapy, and I don't think that pharmacotherapy has all the answers. I don't think that. I think we have to work in a broader community of treatment, and we have to create a treatment environment that allows for biological treatment. And biological treatment is a pharmacotherapy, and I also think that involving the dietitian. Because I think this is a huge biological component to drug dependence that at the moment is not given sufficient emphasis in the treatment. Creating an environment that supports biological treatment would impose a legal environment that would support that. It will mean that you have to have a health system that is supportive of the admission to slide that. And also the well, education, for instance, we have doctors that are going to talk about school children here, but if doctors are not saying the workers, it is not part of the curriculum, we won't get that involvement from the Department of Health and School. We will be a support system here. In the context of what we do, it is extremely important to look at how effective our interventions are. If we don't get effective interventions, then we will need to standardize, but on the other hand, you also need to individualize. Because I think that is one of the major problems why we don't get good results, is the population differs immensely. Algorithm in one person is totally different than algorithm in another person. Those differences are based on biological differences. We don't look for them, we don't look for them in the able to address them. So I think there's a lot of work in the context of what we do. Apart from practice, basic practice, which it should have.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. One more comment.
I think that in each board, the reason if you can yell at you can be able to deal with the problem in the non-competent communication, much as you are talking about all the systems. Then now, if you are dealing with the university, you are not looking for problems in the university, you will be the center or
problem. I'm confident that I can do that. think you need a guide. Even if you start at a certain point, that becomes a sort of last thing which you enjoy. So, yes, it is so that obviously my involvement in this day was a different statement, but I think if one has a good base in one area, then it is possible to say that this is a problem.
Thank you very much. Thank
you.
Honourable members, Vincent Smith. Sorry? We are having our next meeting on Tuesday to just consolidate the recommendation to the minister. Sorry, but to bring everything together, the scoring and everything, and so that we can talk about different committees so we can formulate the recommendation to the minister. That he's been shortlisted is fine. Notification is fine. But about his meeting. Because two or three. Okay. That's fine. So you must put out his internal communication. But can you put me in